Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right. So Todd, we're on this series for several episodes now where we've been talking about systems, breaking down systems, not just systems as we've always known them, but what systems might change and have to change and what aspects about them need to change for a post-COVID church. So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about budgeting, but not just plain old budgeting, because I think everyone understands that within the church world, but the idea of a rolling budgeting cycle where it's not just once a year, but you do it multiple times a year and you're doing it kind of quarter or seasonally over season.
You just lost half our listeners.
Before all...
Because some of them hate budgets.
Okay, and this is what... Well, partly because you're trying to budget for the whole entire year, and your first half of your budget is always going to be better than your latter half because it's hard to think about what you need next year, right? Yet you have your operations guy or girl coming in and being like, hey, we need to do this. We need to be responsible. We need to know how to budget. And it's a difficult thing, especially as a church, right? It's not like you're selling anything and can just sell more quote unquote units. No, the whole church is run by donations, by tithes and offerings. So it's quite complex. Now, the reason, Todd, I wanted to talk about budgeting in particular is because, and I'll just give you a practical example with what we've done here at Beulah, but when I was at Lifeway, one of the things, Todd, that we got certified in was Scrum, right?
Yes.
This whole idea of product management, agile, 2 weeks out, this just a very different style of leadership. And as we went through all of that to be able to build Ministry Grid, I mean, in the back of my mind, I was like, what does this have? Like, how can we implement this within the church? Because some churches don't plan year out. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about just ministry plans.
Right.
Some just don't plan. They have vague ideas, but it really is kind of week in, week out, or a month out. Some do plan a year out. Some plan multiple years out. So one thing that we changed that I'd wanted to change, and what COVID allowed us the opportunity to change, was to change the culture at Beulah from an annual ministry planning / annual budgeting cycle that would last 3 to 4 months to a once every 3 to 4 months doing this. So now this long process for the entire year has been transitioned into a, hey, we're only going to plan out for the next 3 to 4 months and ministry wise, and then we're going to figure out budgeting wise what we need. And if things are underspent or overspent and all that, that is going to affect what the next cycle of budgeting is. And we basically allow that to roll quarter by quarter rather than saying, hey, you know, here's your annual budget. And, you know, you get into that, broken mentality that it's like, if I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. And I mean, I know all the operations and finance people are like, that's the worst thing. No, if you don't use it, you won't lose it. It'll go to somewhere else. And on an annual cycle, it's hard to think through that. But when you're thinking, well, actually, I'm not using this, but next cycle, and that's actually allowing this ministry with this new initiative to go ahead and to do this new thing. And then we're going to then look at the next cycle here and there. So that's an experiment that we've been undergoing. We're probably about 6 or 7 months into this rolling budgeting cycle where a percentage of our budget, we actually start from scratch every quarter. And a percentage of our budget, we do plan annually because that's more of the hard costs, right? Of buildings, of
staff.
Of salaries, yeah, of totally. You know, a lot of those other people, yeah, staffing, benefits, all that. That's annual, and that's a percentage of our budget. But the majority of our finances that goes toward making ministry happen, that is what we're actually budgeting on a rolling cycle.
That's really interesting because I can see. Okay, so I love it. I love the idea of it anyway, because we've had conversations on here before where, you know, I talk about, well, for a lot of churches, they start the year well, and then, you know, summer, fall is like one of the busiest ministry times of year, but you're still waiting to see if your money shows mm-hmm. up. And then a lot of churches mm-hmm. are going into the end of the year, either their budget's frozen or permafrost, if you will, because they need to see what kind of end yeah. of year giving happens. And then, you know, everybody gets the call, you know, December 17th when somebody strokes a check because their stocks did really well this year. And oh, now suddenly we're in the black and everybody buys. They have their Christmas wish list that comes out and they start buying
yeah.
electronics out the wazoo. You know, the next thing you know, hey, why did we just buy 20 iPads? Or, you know, whatever the thing that happens, because they do. They treat it like, oh, this is free money. So I do like the idea of having that baseline budget that does roll with you. And then there's, you know, the ministry side of, well, what are we going to do, you know, next month? And where is yeah. the money that we have? Now, we've talked before about the beauty of 90-day increments. Man, it's an amazing thing mm-hmm. because you can get so much accomplished in that period of time. Whereas if you go longer, it can stretch out. Or if you don't have a span of time like that, it doesn't feel like you have enough time to, you know, plan, execute, and really get something off the ground. So
here's where our director of operations, he's a genius, and like literally the guy's incredible. I just kind of pitched it to him. I was like, what do you think about a, because we were making these changes on the ministry planning cycle and I knew budgeting was a part of it, but I had no idea how we were even going to approach this. So I was like, hey, what do you think if, and he was doing finances for McDonald's Canada, like in charge of finances for, so he understood the importance of scale and all that stuff. So when I threw it at him and he was wrestling through the idea and presented back the concept, here's essentially how it breaks down, right? If 20%, so here's the hard fixed 20%, and I don't remember the numbers exactly, but here's just an example. Here's 20% that's fixed. Okay, 20% of building staffing didn't actually go into that side of it, but it was like building, operations, different pieces where here's regardless of what happens, this is the 20% of budget that is set for the entire year. And then here is now, because that's, so we got 80 left, right? Here's now 60%, or actually 65% of the budget is now planned on a quarterly basis. Okay, 65%. And what happened with the last 15% was that 15% was held because our budget might go in terms of offerings and tithes and all this stuff. Sometimes you have months where a lot is given more than expected and others where less is given. So the idea with the 15% was that we would actually hold that and plan it around. So essentially we're planning ministry around an 85% budget. Not 100%. And if we hit 100%, we would then use that extra 15% toward ministry initiatives or toward, et cetera, other things that might come up, but where we actually had that margin. So we weren't freezing the budget, unfreezing the budget, laying off staff, hiring staff, but where our ministry actually grew and had this surplus. And if you don't end up using the surplus, then you end up putting that into your reserves, because I mean, every church needs reserves. And if your reserves are the where they're at, then you put it into multiplication, right? You put it into, and you can put it into different funds and begin giving it away. But that's kind of how he built it for us.
I love that idea for multiple reasons. I mean, even if you think about how many churches are in significant debt, and mm-hmm. you know, rather than doing yet another giving campaign or something like that, paying on the principal, with the extra would be good. And then you're right. I mean, you definitely need reserves. And so I would say building up your reserves is key. But there's always going to be ministry needs in the community, even if there's not a natural disaster or you're not, you know, planting a church. There might be a church down the road that maybe it's not even a church that's in your denomination or network, and their building burns down. You know, like there's always going to be some type of ministry need that you can fulfill with that. I mean, because the argument against that, the 90-day thing is, well, how do I plan for significant ministry when I don't know how much money I'm going to have? Well, it's because you actually do. We're budgeting right now. If the 15% comes over, then next year we're going to, or next quarter, we'll know that we have this overage and we can make more significant plans. So, you know, I get some of the arguments that people are probably making in their mind. Well, 90 days is too short, but I really, really like it. The more I'm thinking about it, the more I like it.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's interesting, right? You think, okay, I mean, the thing about being a church is you're not just bringing in tithes and offerings and then giving people bonuses if you have brought in more money or whatever. I mean, this isn't a business, right? That's not what's happening. So as a church, you're stewarding the money of that the congregation has given, God's money, right? You're stewarding that for kingdom purposes. But part of it is there are, especially if you have a building, I mean, you might have air conditioning units, you know, get blown out and time out and in different pieces. There might be a leak and there might be different things where you just need to, rather than claiming insurance, you need to just pay, or maybe it's just replacing because it's something's just gotten so old. So you don't want to be in a place where every time something like that needs to happen, you're in crisis mode and you're like, we don't have any money, we can't even make payroll, and now we have to do that. I mean, that's just not a healthy place to be for your sanity as a pastor, but also for the church. I mean, that's not stewarding your resources well. So to actually under budget and say, yeah, you know what, we have this much money in the bank for these replacements, for these capital expenditures that are coming up. But hey, you know what? This just happened and the school down the road, their library burnt down. We're going to give them $50,000. We're going to give them $100,000. We're going to do whatever, because you've been able to build up these reserves and other opportunities where you're like, yeah, we're going to give and be a generous church because the opportunity has come and we're just stewarding these finances.
I love it. I like it. I want to talk more offline about it because I think there's a framework that you could develop here. That would be really good. That'd be handy for a lot of churches to do, because to be honest, it's a much more healthy way to do it. And it from a stewardship perspective, it might actually be more biblical.
Yeah.
Dare I say.
Interesting. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into today's episode. We're going to continue our little mini series because, man, there are lots and lots of different aspects about systems that are going to change for a post-COVID reality. And you know what? This is the time to change them. This is the time in this season of disruption. This is the time to revisit your system so that you can be more effective at reaching your community. Well, thank you so much for listening into the podcast today, and we will catch you next time.